about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
It is an interesting aspect of humans as a social species that actions by one person or group that affect you leave with you a sense of debt. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head, made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, reciprocity.
If you do something for someone else, that creates a feeling of debt in the other person that often leads to a return in kind of what you've done. And the fascinating thing about reciprocity is that this can work both for good things and for bad, right? So, you know, somebody does something nice for you and then you think, oh, I should do something nice in return. But, you know, somebody does something nasty and you're like, I'll get that guy.
Yeah. Right. And that, you know, I think maybe we should spend a little bit of time talking about what happens when things are not reciprocal, when things are out of balance in some way. Where now different people have entirely different experiences in a relationship depending on whether they're on the more giving side or on the more taking side. And now this imbalance creates, you know, strain and stresses that can't be sustained over a long period of time, because to have that kind of imbalance is making somebody unhappy and is pretty much guaranteed to continue to make them unhappy until something gets more.
But how they express that unhappiness mm-hmm. depends on a number of factors. So one of them that we've mentioned before on the show is agreeableness.
Yep.
Agreeableness is to what degree do you really need to be liked as a part of a social interaction? Well, if you're in a relationship of any kind, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friend relationship or a family relationship, in which there's really something that is not being reciprocated, how you choose to deal with that depends a little bit on whether you feel like you need to be liked at the end of this particular interaction.
Yeah.
So if you're very agreeable, you tend to keep doing things for the person who is not reciprocating in the hope that next time they'll reciprocate.
Yep.
And because by doing something for them, you know that you're doing something that they're going to like you for. And then you keep hoping against hope that they're finally going to recognize the error of their ways and reciprocate. Yep. If you're a little bit lower in agreeableness, then you do something for someone else that's not reciprocated. And you're like, what?
Yeah. When people have an expectation about what they're supposed to get, what they're supposed to want, it ignores how much luck and caprice play into what happens to us, right? It's not some tit-for-tat contingency that if we do the right thing and if we work hard, then good things will come to us with some level of certainty, because that's just not the way the world works.
And because we learn about the world from the culture that we are born into, we learn what we can expect from the world. And that's a great strength of humanity. But to the extent that a society constrains what a particular class of individuals is allowed to do, that can also be a drawback. Because if what you've learned through your whole life is this is the most I can expect, then you're not going to be able to transcend that, because you simply don't know differently.
I mean, if you live in circumstances where there is never any acknowledgement of you as an individual, as you as being worthy of attention, and that is your human experience, it would be crazy to continue to expect things to come to you when you have ample evidence that that's not happening and it's unlikely to happen in the future. But that's why all the statements that are made by cultures and societies and religious organizations or whatever that define what is owed every human being. The reason those things have to be spelled out is that in human history, there have been times where if you were born, well, not even human history, contemporaneously now in some cultures, where you're born a certain caste, well, you should never have an expectation that you would rise above that place, because there's no mechanism in society for you to do that. But when a society makes a conscious decision to say, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that's a pretty dramatic step forward beyond saying that, well, everybody kind of, you know, you've got what you've got and you're born in these circumstances, that's where you're destined to die and spend the rest of your your life.
And then, you know, if we take reciprocity to a broader level, there's an interesting political discussion that happens right now in which there's a tension between individual reciprocity and beliefs about cultural systems. So one of the things that you hear often, for example, in discussions of race is, well, I've never done anything wrong to this person of a minority group, as if that now absolves you of having to play any role in historical imbalances that there may have been. And I think that's, you know, part of the frustration that we get in public discussions about race. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the admissions policy at UT right now, about the value of diversity in education, but also, you know, the argument is that if some students, if race is taken into account as a factor in admissions, then other things that had been taken into account in the past may be given less weight in the admissions process. And that means that people who might have gotten into UT in the past won't get in now because the weights given to different criteria have changed. And of course, that feels unfair. And what you get are individuals saying, but why should I pay the price for this? Because I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And from a pure individual reciprocity standpoint, you could say, well, okay, so yeah, maybe not. But there's also a cultural issue that one of the things as a culture that we do sometimes is to recognize that individuals have been held and continue to be held back in their ability to realize their potential as a result of cultural factors, and that redressing those cultural factors will necessarily influence individuals in ways that don't feel like reciprocity is happening.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of confession with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. And make sure you never miss an episode. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. We would love to know what you think of the show. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.